This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joyful, joyful.
Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. This is the show where we talk about spirituality and sexuality for our community.
You are on the Spirit Lounge with Rachel, Claudine and Mark. And tonight we have a very special guest in the studio with us, Michelle. And on your lounge every Thursday night from 8 till 9 on Joy 94.9. And as always, a huge bravo to Michelle Stephen Clayton from Stand Up Straight. Now, I have a bit of a confession, guys, which may not come as a surprise. I am a sugar addict. At least with every single meal, every single day, I have to have something sweet and I can't imagine not having it. So a little later in the show, our special guest Michelle will explain why I would possibly even consider giving up sugar for a whole 40 days. But first, are you ready for the song?
We're ready for the song.
How should I do it this week, Mark?
I'm thinking upbeat this week.
Upbeat.
Upbeat.
What kind of upbeat?
Maybe with an oriental feel.
Ooh, that will be interesting. I don't know if I can sing oriental.
The pressure's on now.
Oh, no, because then I don't want to embarrass anybody out there who might be oriental and... Well, look, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to go, holy day of the week. And that's how it's going to be, and that's not oriental. So over to our in-house expert on all things monkey, fireworks, lion dancing... and dumplings. Here is Claudine with Chinese New Year.
Oh, I think everybody can be an expert on dumplings.
Oh, happily.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that might be universal. There's dumplings everywhere. I don't know if I'm not really much of an expert on Chinese New Year. Now, you know that some people are cultural Christians, some people are cultural Jews. I guess I'm a cultural Chinese person.
Yeah.
I've always been, So I've always been aware. I've always celebrated Chinese New Year with my family since I was a kid, but it was sort of, because we were a Christian family, we were, we'll celebrate Christmas and Easter and all the Christian festivals because that's really important and it's about God and we're going to go to church. And Chinese New Year is food and presents and red envelopes with little bits of money in them.
There's presents? For Chinese
presents.
How did I not know this before? I need to get on board. I knew there was food, but like presents?
Yeah, so well, money. So
that's even better.
And I think there's rules about how much money you get, but basically the older members of the family will give little red packets of money to the younger members of the family.
Oh, I'm the youngest.
Yeah.
So I get all the money.
I think no. So if you've got siblings, they have to get them too until they get married.
He's married. He got married in September.
So
that's just
all right. So I think he'll have to start giving presents,
yes,
giving money to other people now.
I'll write a memo.
So yeah, try and introduce that into your family. So it's the Chinese New Year festival. It's about 2 weeks long. Started on the 8th of February, which it's a Lunar New Year. So as we were talking to Michelle about earlier outside the studio, there's many festivals around the world that are centered on the phases of the moon. So this is the new year for the Chinese, and it's spring in China. So once again, there's loads of significance for some of the practices of Chinese New Year that don't necessarily translate to... it's celebrated in other parts of the world anywhere there are many Chinese.
One thing that I thought was really relevant for Chinese New Year is mooncakes, but traditionally they're not relevant for Chinese New Year because they're an autumn thing, and anywhere else, it's not autumn. Well,
but we can eat mooncakes.
But we can eat mooncakes now. So that's why it's relevant in Australia to have mooncakes now.
That's why religious festivals should be adapted for their local place.
Yes, it's true.
So I think so something that a lot of people might be aware of is that there's a in Chinese astrology, there's 12 animals of the zodiac, where the Western zodiac goes for the month of the year. In China, it's a 12-year cycle, and in fact, it's almost a 60-year cycle because there's 12 animals, and there's also 5 elements. And I always forget which the elements are, but I do know that I do know what the animals are. So this is the year of the monkey, and shout out especially to my brother John, who is a monkey. So it's his special year this year, and
mine
anyone
too,
else.
But I don't know if he's a zodiac monkey.
I'd say the same about my sister. So
there's lots of it. So if you were born in, if you're turning 12, 24, 36, and you can go on this year, you're probably a monkey.
So I missed the monkey by a year.
Oh, so does that make you, that would make you a roost? No, that would make you a goat.
I am a goat.
We were talking about it.
Yeah.
So the 12 animals are the rat, the ox, tiger, rabbit, dragon, snake, horse, goat, monkey, rooster, dog, and pig. And out of, those are all real animals except for the dragon, which is interesting. And
dragons are real. Haven't you watched Game of Thrones?
Is Game of Thrones real?
Yes. Duh. TV. TV doesn't lie.
So the Chinese New Year is also, the Lunar New Year is also celebrated in some of the other countries near China, such as Vietnam and Japan and Korea. And I remember when I, because my family, we all love cats. I remember my mum telling me, well, you know, you're a rabbit, but if we were in Vietnam, you'd be a cat. So it's like, oh yes, I am the year of the cat. So that's perfect for me. My life is made. So some of the traditional celebrations are firecrackers and loud noises in general to scare away evil spirits and welcome the new year. Lion dances to, and we've had lion dances in Melbourne now. So
not to be mistaken with line dance.
Lion dances.
Yes.
I was always terrified of them when I was a kid. And it's a time when people go home to the families. So whether you're, if you're, you know, living in China and working in the city, you'll get a few days off to visit your parents in the country. My landlord, who lives in Hong Kong, came home to Australia. So she's, you know, taking advantage of that holiday. And the red envelopes, as I mentioned, and there's various special foods, different kinds of food that you eat on each of the 15 days that have some significance. As I said, we weren't a very observant family, so in Singapore you mostly celebrate the first couple of days with the public events, the firecrackers everywhere and lots of noise and dances, but we didn't have that special meal for each day of the year, each day of the week.
Of the celebration.
So there's, as you know, a large Chinese population in Melbourne, and plenty, the city of Melbourne's got right behind that, and there's plenty of celebrations going on in the city, and we'll put up on Facebook a photo that our photographer Betty took of the 12 animals on display in South Bank. It looks like they're actually made in a paper lantern style, so they light up at night. So we'll put up a photo of a monkey lantern on our Facebook page, Spirit Lounge Joy 949.
So there are events going all over Melbourne for Chinese New Year, so in outer suburbs of Melbourne as well. So if you visit ChineseNewYear.com.au, this will give you information on events that are still coming up. So there's a few that have already been and passed last weekend, but there for the next few days and weekend to come, there's a lot more events. And if you're listening in other parts of Australia, there's also events going on in every capital city, which is very exciting.
You're on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9, and our guest in the studio tonight is Michelle Trebilco, an Anglican priest and a recent PhD graduate in theology, Congratulations.
And so much more, I have
and
to say.
So much more, and we'll be hearing a bit more about that.
Hello, it's good to be here with you on the lounge.
Thank
it's a bit
you.
It's squishy with four of us, though, don't you think?
It's cozy.
It's cozy.
It's a good lounge.
Comfy.
We're friends here.
Just as well, your ears don't smell.
Yes.
I that thought was brought we were up earlier. I thought we were going to skip that conversation.
No, we've all had a shower, and here we are on the lounge. Ready to greet.
Ready to
our visitors in cyberspace or something.
On the airwaves.
On the airwaves.
Oh. They're sitting here with us. Can't you see them all?
And they can join in the conversation if they like to by they can you can SMS us on 0427 joy949 or you can email us on air at joy.org.au or if you're listening via the app or have access to the app, you can hit the contact us button up in the top left hand corner and send us a message that way, and we would love to hear from all our listeners out there.
So as you may, if you were listening last week, you would have heard that we were eating pancakes and lots of yummy greasy fat sugary things as far as on Tuesday, which
so
was
like a standard meal for me. No? Oh.
Well, not. Well, maybe for some.
Yeah. Not but, you. You're healthy.
Oh, I don't know about that. But but that was only up till Tuesday. And now that's we can start thinking about what we do, what we eat, what's healthy, what's not.
Scoff?
Well, why are we pigging out in the first place? We're sort of making it's our last dash before Lent, which began yesterday on Ash Wednesday. And the church has some pretty old standard practices such as the fasting and discipline of various kinds. But we were talking amongst ourselves, you know, what does Lent actually mean, and what can we take from it for a new generations and for people who may not have those connections. So we've invited Michelle in to talk about some of the approaches that she's the creative things that she's doing. So I mean, first of all, we might just start off asking Michelle a bit about where you are today. And you're an Anglican priest, but you're not in a particular parish, so that in itself is a bit unusual.
Well, I guess unusual or usual, depending on where you stand, because there are literally millions of Christians around the world these days who are finding the institutional church difficult. So, I continue to have one foot in the church, and I really value the Christian traditions that I've come from. But at the same time, I live my life amongst a community that has a diverse spirituality, and some of my favourite ways of praying and my spiritual practices are with people of different religious traditions or no religious traditions. So I think that's just the way that the world is at the moment, and we're all kind of trying to find our own uniqueness in that, but also the shared space. The shared community and connections. So
I'm personally very down with that.
Very down with
very it. Very down with that.
I'd rather you be up with it, actually.
I'm
on board.
Fit in with that.
How
that
about
is
you, Mark? Perhaps you're across it.
I could be across it. That sounds good. Yeah, I could be across it. Maybe, you know, we're on the lounge across it, if you like. Maybe you can work that out.
Yeah, just keep your feet to yourself.
No footsies on this lounge.
I completely lost it now.
So let me tell you what I did on Ash Wednesday. So Ash Wednesday is traditionally the first day of Lent. Lent is a six-week period that is set in time according to the spring equinox and also with some reference to the Jewish Passover. That's how the date is set. And then Ash Wednesday is 40 days plus 40 days excluding Sundays prior to Easter Day, in which we celebrate the occasion of Jesus' resurrection from the dead.
Can I quickly ask, why are Sundays excluded?
You can ask that. I probably don't have a good answer for you.
Mark has asked a Jewish man.
It could come from the Jewish tradition of mourning, and so mourning is suspended on the day of the Sabbath.
Oh, well, there you go.
Hence why you would probably say it's 40 days, excluding Sundays being the Christian Sabbath. And there's your connection.
I love that, Mark.
I think that might actually be different. My understanding was that because Sundays celebrate the resurrection, they always trump
that
other
could
days.
Be the case, yes, because every Sunday is Resurrection Day.
It's a mini Easter.
Yeah,
every Sunday.
Yeah, so there's a yearly cycle, but also a weekly cycle of resurrection in the Christian story. Mm-hmm. Resurrection's kind of important to us. It's called New Life. So anyway, so Ash Wednesday is 40 days plus Sundays before Resurrection Day. And so what I did yesterday on the first day of Lent was, first of all, I went to work.
Yay!
And earned money and paid my bills. And then on the way home from work, I shared my lounge room with six other people that I'd just sent out a general invite to my friends on Facebook and a bit further afield, and said, for me, Lent is all about making room for new life. So come and join me in my lounge room. And we sat in silent meditation for 20 minutes. So we had 20 minutes of silent meditation, still sitting meditation, and we shared briefly. Actually, we didn't use that many words, and that was kind of it. Actually, all we did was sit down, create an hour of nothingness, of just being there for ourselves in the presence of other people. That was what that was about, just making space. And I think that really describes for me what Lent is about. It's about making space for something new to happen without striving, without, you know, really planning for it, just letting it arrive, making space to let new life arrive.
So are you saying that you don't necessarily have to give up sugar? You can just meditate to allow space?
Well, this is certainly true, but I have recently given up sugar. So I also know something about giving up sugar. And
that's in my best interest.
Yeah. So fasting is traditionally a practice taken up during Lent and during other kind of penitential seasons in different religious traditions. So the idea of fasting as a spiritual practice is to change your focus. So to create a space for a focus on, I guess, life beyond the physical,
the everyday,
yeah, something like that. Mm. So perhaps a parallel example would be good. I was really excited that I had these beautiful people coming to my lounge room, and I wanted to make it beautiful. And so I went to the trouble of buying a brand new candle for us to meditate around. It was purple because the colour of Lent is purple. But I didn't read the instructions, and it was a special crackle candle. So we had these all through our silence. And you know, the way of contemplation is you acknowledge and you accept and you just let something be. So I acknowledged I've got a candle that crackles, and we thought, all right, well, we'll experiment, and if it doesn't work, we'll throw it out afterwards. So anyway, what we found was the crackle was just an opportunity to focus on that and then let the other noises just fall away.
Yeah.
So at one point, the kids next door were out in the backyard jumping on the trampoline, and I started to get distracted by that noise as I was meditating. And then I thought, oh, there's the crackle. I can hear the crackle again. So I stopped paying attention to the noises outside and started paying attention to the crackle of the candle again, and it just returned me to that simple, single focus, which is what meditation is about.
So the crackle almost functioned like the bell in some kinds of meditation.
Yeah, or a mantra.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're actually grounded in the crackle.
Yeah. And I think that's what I think that's kind of what fasting does. It's trying to strip away your multiple focuses onto a single focus.
That's a great idea, and that makes a whole lot of sense. You're on a Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9, where we're talking to Michelle Trebulco about creative approaches to Lent. But as Michelle was saying, she's still got one foot in the institutional church, and after the meditation that she had yesterday, she then went off to an Ash Wednesday service. So tell us a bit about what that looks like.
Yes, with a delicious dinner with a special person in between. But I think that's also an important part of celebrating all things beautiful and spiritual. But, I think so at 8 o'clock last night, I took myself down to my local church where I participate as an honorary priest. And we had what most people think of as traditional church. So a traditional Ash Wednesday service consists of solemn music. The church building is cleared, so all of the decorations in the church, if they can't be removed, they've put cloths over them so you can't see them. That's a tradition that seems to have come about from the Middle Ages. And it's the idea of making space in quite a different way. So it's a lot more serious and solemn, which is kind of what you'd expect, I guess, from those older religious practices. Yeah, so we sang some songs, we said some prayers, we had some readings from the Bible, and then the ash of Ash Wednesday is made from last year's palm crosses, which I didn't know until I was caught out in the first year when I was a priest in my parish on my own, and I'm like, where on earth do I get the ashes for Ash Wednesday? And then someone told me, oh, they've always been burnt from the palm crosses from the year before. But anyway, that's a bit of priestly trivia. So there's the ash there, and the priests go around saying words like, you are born of ash but destined for glory. I think they were the words, which I think they're beautiful.
I've never heard those ones before.
Something like that is what we used, and I particularly like it because the priest at my church has a real interest in quantum physics, and he did this incredible sermon on Christmas Eve about quantum understanding of the world, and I just came away kind of tingling with this idea that I'm connected to all that is, because that's, you know, so I'm dust of the stars, destined for glory. I love that idea.
That might just give me, like, my alter ego something to actually ground on.
So the ashes are marked on your forehead in a sign of a cross, which is the core Christian symbol, of course, reminding us of what we're moving into with the death and resurrection of Jesus. Then we celebrated communion and we went home.
Nice.
Yeah, so that was traditional church. So, I figure, like, traditional religion is still part of most people's lives in some way. It might not be part of their lives, but their parents might have been brought up Christians, or their grandparents, and, you know, it's often you come across the traditional ways on these festivals, yeah, and you have to grapple with them. Like, Claudine, you were talking about, you are Chinese and Christian in your family. Well, now you as a unique person have to actually work out, what do you do with those backgrounds that you've been born into, and how do you negotiate your own unique spiritual path in the world?
Definitely. So something that sparked my interest before was you mentioned that purple is the color of Lent, and I really wanted to find out more about that, because personally I love the color purple. I used to have purple hair. It's now not purple, for those of you out there. But yes, why purple?
I was really hoping you weren't going to ask this question.
No. I just...
Do we need to ask Mrs. Wikipedia?
Mrs. Wikipedia.
Mrs. Dr. Wikipedia? I don't know.
They are unlikely to have many opinions on Wikipedia. But I think, well, first of all, purple's a colour, right? It's a symbol. So it can mean many, many different things. And in the Christian narratives, purple's often associated with Jesus because it's a royal colour, because it was a really expensive dye at that time, and da 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 da. But that doesn't really make sense to me. for Lent, like the royal colour of Jesus when we're stripping things away. So I read on Claudine's post on the Spirit Lounge on the Facebook page, Rowan Williams says that purple used to be associated with judgment, so a dark, kind of deep, ominous purple. Maybe that's why purple is the colour of Lent.
Well, it seems there's a, I guess there's a theme, because in some traditions, Lent is when, for those people who make confessions, not every week, but a few times a year, Lent is one of those periods when they do that, and that's purple is associated with that practice as well. So there's a sense of accounting for yourself and confessing your sins and being absolved on Thursday.
Yeah, the serious kind of
the
business.
Serious part of Lent.
Yeah, but I think then I guess I'm intrigued by the purple chakra at this point as well, so the crown chakra of spirituality. And in some ways that makes more sense to me from that point of view of Lent making room, clearing way for spiritual enlightenment.
Mm.
So, I don't know, that's caught my imagination this month.
You could
in
go,
terms of purple, but there is, you know.
You could go really left field, because purple is also known as a gay colour, yeah. And Jesus did have two dads. So it could be something to do with that.
Purple,
a non-traditional family.
The non-traditional reason as to why the colour of Lent is purple. But I found it really interesting as well that, like, depending on shades of purple as well, depends on the way that you view the colour purple.
Yeah, yeah. And we were reading before that young people often associate light purple with happy, and old people often associate purple with the dark purple and the grumpy, judgment, serious stuff.
Yeah, so and you were saying before that judges had deep purple, and that could be why.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go.
That's... Wouldn't it be fantastic if someone actually wrote in the definitive answer? If they sent us a text message saying, "I have examined this in exquisite detail,"
or "you're really good at Wikipediaing," you should definitely send us a message, 0427 joy 949, or send an email to onair@joy.org.au, or use your app. If you use the app, you already know how to do it. And then you can tell us why purple is the colour of Lent.
Purple is still worn by judges too. When you were talking about judgment, I'm thinking, I'm sure judges
and
wear... And it's actually... High court judges, so it's that really high level of judges are wearing purple, which means quite significant. So I wonder, that is probably more
the authority
taking off the Christian tradition rather than the tradition taking off the judges. But that's just interesting.
Well, who knows? Because I think that, you know, this is the wonderful thing about the time that we live in, that you've got histories and cultures from across the globe colliding into each other. In these, you know, wonderful big metropolises that we live in. So it's all a melting pot of purple stew.
Not sure if I'd eat that.
And you're on the Spirit Lounge, where we've been talking to Michelle about Lent and about some of the traditional and less traditional approaches that we have to them. And Michelle was talking earlier about the meditation that she ran in her home last night for Ash Wednesday. I was interested to know who came along to that, whether they were Christian or not, or what brought them to it.
Well, I think what we shared was a kind of desperate need to make some space for real living, for peace and calmness, and just stopping the yelling in our heads and you know, the rushing and the anxiety that kind of, you know, builds up over time. I think we shared this sense of a need to stop and find some little yeah, spaces for spiritual connection, or however they would say that.
And so were they people you know through church or other?
One of them Facebook was a friend from church. Yeah. All the others were Facebook friends, so people that I've met around the local community or met on an online community. And, I deliberately put in, set the time so that people could come in transit and just have a little pause on their way home. So that, yeah, it's creating space in our life is something that we can just open a doorway to in little everyday, in little moments, rather than kind of a whole big going away on a retreat kind of, or living in a hermitage or something like that. You know, there's really wonderful traditions of withdrawing into silence and meditation in all the world traditions. And I think what's really exciting about the current enjoyment of the mindfulness movement is just this recognition that we don't all need to be spiritual superheroes. We can actually just do what we can do every day to create that kind of space. Learning from the great superheroes who, you know, manage to meditate for days on end, sitting in the same position. I'm not great at sitting still when I meditate. I have a dance meditation which suits me much better. I think that's something that we're learning to do in our everyday, is to breathe into the little spaces.
So have you been practicing meditation for some time?
Yeah, I learned how to meditate when kind of life fell apart. It was part of me coping with the trauma of life not working anymore. I think a lot of meditators share that that experience, that you start because you need it, you know, and there's nothing else to hang on to. And once you start, you find this incredible freedom in letting go. Yeah.
So you obviously wanted to share this with people who didn't necessarily come from a spiritual background. Otherwise, you wouldn't have just asked your general Facebook friend.
Yeah, so not a real. I wanted to share it with people who are interested in spirituality, but not sharing a religious tradition.
Yeah,
but it was important to me to share something of my religious tradition, so that it was authentic to me, but with an openness. So all I'm doing to share my religious tradition of Lent is opening my lounge room, and creating a space where other people can share on their own terms. So one of the wonderful things about meditation for me is that you sit yourself down and then you let go of the stories. So you let go of the chatter in your head to start with. Once you kind of are able to sink into the meditation, sometimes that, you know, takes quite a bit of practice. But you let go of the grand narratives, like, so for me, the Christian story, the capitalist story, the be a good suburban kind of daughter story, you know, and you just put it aside for a moment and you don't need to keep thinking about it. You just come back to, I am a body and I breathe in life.
Amazing. So do you think that, so Lent is relevant to people who may not necessarily see it or may not even have known about what Lent is. So people who aren't from Christian backgrounds or who are from other religions, do you think Lent is important in terms of the meditation side of it? It's the opening your mind to clear it and let things out. So like the purpose of Lent is what I'm trying to say. Do you think that's relevant?
I think that's a really complex and interesting social question, because Lent is part of the Christian heritage, and a large part of our Australian culture is from the Christian heritage.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people who have that as a spiritual resource in their bag that they can draw upon. But human beings need rhythms of life. You know, so we all need these times where we're reminded to strip away what's unnecessary and get back to basics in order for new life to flourish. Like, that's, it's not just human life, you know, all of life goes through this cycle of stripping things away in order for, you know, the yeah. autumn and into autumn, winter, spring, summer. So I think maybe what I would say is the gift is that for me as a Christian, if I self-consciously practice Lent in an open way and invite people to find their own practices of new life. So this is where I think the moon comes in, like with the lunar new year. And so there would have been people in the group who were much more in tune with the cycles of the moon, but that in itself is a cycle where you go through the ebb and flow of letting things go, picking things up, letting things go, picking things up. Finding all the different ways where we can have this cycle of giving up. I mean, we definitely need seasons where we're giving up less consumerism, less food, less definitely. Sugar, to say it, and coming back to more community, more health, more simplicity. So, I think in the great mix of multicultural Melbourne, we use everything.
Definitely. Well, I think that's something that we can all think about and meditate on ourselves, is to allow ourselves to give something up and to open the space for new things. You are on the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9, and we're coming to the end of our exciting show tonight, where we've talked about everything from the Chinese New Year and zodiac signs through to Lent and the not-so-traditional ways of celebrating or reflecting Lent. And thank you so much for coming in, Michelle.
No worries.
It has been an absolute pleasure having you here. And did you have something that you wanted to input about this song that we will be going out with tonight?
Oh, I love this song. It's just got the best intro. And, you'll hear it in a minute. But this guy is really interesting. He's a really fantastic musician. Used to head up the horn section for Prince. I found out during the week he actually wrote the horn riff for the funky song, Funk You Up.
Mm-hmm. Funk You Up. Uptown Funk.
So he's a really good musician. And I was listening to his one of his latest albums, and I thought, gosh, I really resonate with these lyrics. And they were just spiritual, joyful, human lyrics. But really particularly seemed to link in with my stories. And then I found out he was a pastor's kid. He's got this whole gospel background.
PKs.
And I thought, yeah. He's one of me.
He's one of me.
Just being a spirit out there in the world and being generous and open.
So. Amazing. So we're going to hear Philip Lassiter's Butterfly, but keep your dancing shoes on after that and get out your bare chest, because the boys from the woods are up next. So it's a big lounging good night from Rachel.
And Mark.
And good night from Claudine at the panel.
And this is Philip Lassiter with Butterfly.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.